That sounds good.
A little picking there. Sounds real good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's our goal every Saturday morning. Bring y'all something that sounds really good.
I enjoy music. You can hear music, you know?
I agree. Doesn't make your ears bleed.
Right.
And you can, and if there's words, you can understand them.
Mm-hmm. Are bees attacking you?
They are.
We're next to the open door.
I look at all bees differently these days.
Don't breathe. Don't breathe. We'll get to that next hour. We're at broadcasting live in the town of Cottonwood, Arizona. It's on 260 and 89A between Sedona and Camp Verde. I actually did my Eagle Scout project here in this town in Dead Horse State Park.
Just around the corner.
I think that is hilarious. I never thought about it till you said it.
Yeah.
The only one that built a horse bridge in a place called Dead Horse.
Yeah. Romy comes home from Boy Scouts. I was usually with him, you know, but we came home and he's trying to decide what his Eagle Scout project is going to be. And our troop had kind of developed a relationship with Dead Horse State Park.
We had built a footbridge.
Yes.
Joe Sinkowitz, is that what it was? It's been 20-something years ago.
Been a long time ago.
Yeah.
But we contacted the ranger at Dead Horse State Park, and he says, you know, that footbridge your troop built for us was really nice. Worked out perfect. Now will you build us a horse bridge? So Romy says, I'm going to build a horse bridge. So we clear out the back warehouse at the construction company, and we order two, as I remember, 30-foot-long, 6-inch by 18-inch glulam beams. We set them down in the warehouse, and we build the troop builds the entire bridge back in the warehouse.
With bolts.
We disassemble the entire thing.
And everything's pre-cut.
You and I go up the week ahead. You remember that?
We built the footings.
The bulkhead, the masonry bulkheads on each end. And then the troop joined us the following weekend, and we set that bridge in place. And it's still there.
It's still there. And Grandpa Charlie even came up and brought Alex to make sure, the maiden horse voyage, make sure
was
it
he
held.
The first horse
he
over
was.
The bridge?
Yeah.
Was he really?
I have pictures. I documented it.
I'm not sure I remembered that part of the story. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, it's still there. So Romy's legacy in Arizona will be that he built the equestrian horse bridge at Dead Horse State Park. It's a beautiful little park. It's come a long way since we built that bridge.
Oh, my gosh. They've expanded their ponds and their fishing and their accommodations. It's if you aren't equipped to go rough out camping, that's a great place to go and have. They've got showers. They've got flushing toilets and like a community bathhouse. I mean, they've got it separated, male and female.
they haven't got that politically correct yet.
No.
Well, Jennifer and I have trailered the horses up there a couple times, and we've ridden out. You can actually ride right out of there and ride into Sedona.
Yeah, so that trail is on the Arizona Trail, so you could go out of there towards Mexico.
Yes.
Or out of there towards Canada, whichever way you want to go.
All right, we're broadcasting live from Verde Valley Fairgrounds for the Verde
Valley. Yeah,
that's
why we're here.
The Verde Valley Business Expo. It's lots of building contractors and service providers. We've got Elite Custom Doors. We have We Organize You Garage Cabinets. We've got Renewal by Anderson. We've got a lot of folks here. And like you say, we're located right in between the NRA and Mingus Cremation for Pets. So we're here as well.
I have to say the grounds are just lovely. You know, really pretty green grass. The buildings are well kept and kind of fresh looking. It just looks like a
nice
place you want to come.
Arena.
Yeah, but she has a jaundiced view of fairgrounds.
Because I've spent
spent
25 years doing
clogging. Or the state fairgrounds, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm sorry, right. State fairgrounds is just.
But they have Maricopa there, too, don't they?
But I always had this dream that they would move it out in the country.
19th
so felt when you went,
McDowell.
Mm-hmm. So when you went, you would get to feel like you were really going out in the country. But this setting achieves that. I might start coming up here to their county fair.
So you're predisposed to fairgrounds that have, like, a little grass and a tree or two?
Mm-hmm.
This one has a lot of grass. That lawn coming in on the east side of it is gorgeous.
Well kept. Very nice.
Nice line of trees.
The Business Expo runs today and tomorrow. Today it's open 9 to 5. Tomorrow it's open 9 to 4. We'll be broadcasting here until 11 o'clock this morning. And, you know, we always talk about Arizona staycations, and Camp Verde is really like one of the But the whole Verde River Valley, you can wrap Sedona into that. You can wrap Jerome into that. Knowing we were coming up here for the weekend, I really wanted to book our rooms at the Reardon House up in Jerome.
Somebody beat us to it.
But I waited too long, and it was booked. So that was heartbreaking. We still have to have the opportunity to go up and stay there or at the Best Western Plus in Sedona. But that was just a little bit too far from where we were going to be broadcasting.
Well, I think you need to add Clarkdale into there. If you
Clarkdale as well, yes.
You can't leave them out.
Can't leave. And Cornville and McGuireville, Page Springs, you know, the whole little area. But one of the interesting things I've always liked here, I mean, Romy, we moved the Crawfish Festival here after about 4 or 5 years. They had it here for about 3 years.
Fort Verde, I think it was a little longer than that. They
put up the big tent, brought in the bands, had line dancing, a lot of big crawfish. They did it upright. I was disappointed when they decided to not do it anymore.
Well, I don't know the whole details, but it sounded that was in Camp Verde. And they had built up an attraction once a month. They had Fort Verde Days. They had the Crawfish Festival. Every month they had a new festival there, and they actually had started making a lot of money. And I don't know if this is true, so I probably shouldn't say anything, but it sounded like that all disappeared along with a couple council members in the night after it was a significant amount. And then the Fort Verde Rangers, who are actually here today, tried to keep it going and keep it going and keep it going, but they just did not have the funding
that's a shame.
To build it back up.
Because they were doing a great job at it, and that was after you and I were almost arrested by the National Forest Service trying to do it at Willow Springs.
As a public service,
yes. We almost, Romy and I almost were ushered off in handcuffs at one time. So they moved it there. Now we're conducting it up at Bison Ranch, and people always ask us, when's it going to be?
Just first Saturday in August. It used to be in June when it was in Camp Verde, just because so much of all the crawfish for that, they came out of Louisiana. So they had to do it early enough that they could get the supply out of Louisiana. But our point in doing it is very much a conservation effort. Well, the waters up on the rim where most of the crawfish are really aren't warm enough to get your best trapping until
a little later.
Until later.
Okay.
And with some of the new technologies that they have in crawfish preservation, harvesting, they do a purge and freeze, dry freeze, so you can get crawfish year-round now.
And
so we don't ever have to worry about not having it if we don't have a good catch.
And how many pounds of crawfish did y'all cook last year?
I think it was close. I think we got back up to 5,000, real close.
5,000 pounds?
We shipped in 10? Three, and we caught close to 2,000.
2.5 tons of crawfish. How many crawfish is that?
Oh, gosh.
you going to do a math on it?
You can expect probably about let's do a 13 count. Arizona's a little more because it's not harvested on a regular basis. So the crawfish are just larger because they're not harvested every year.
Oh, okay.
Like they are out of the rice paddies, and there's a constant turnover. Well, they don't have that turnover here. So let's do an 11 count, average it out, times that by 5,000. You're at 55,000 crawfish.
And we're trying to get rid of them in the Arizona waterways because they are detrimental to the fish that we put in there. So in your Arizona staycation, as you travel Arizona, Romy, have you found any water in Arizona that doesn't hold crawfish? I've only found like one or two places that had no crawfish. Virtually every body of water in Arizona has crawfish.
You know what I did? Just so I could say I did it, I did this not expecting to catch. When I got to take the Grand Canyon River Raft tours.
Yes.
I brought crawfish traps and threw them in the Colorado River at both places we stayed overnight and didn't catch a single crawfish.
Okay.
I didn't think we would.
All right. But you had to say you tried.
Yep.
had to say you tried. Well, again, we're broadcasting from Camp Verde. A lot of great Arizona history here. It's the home of Fort Verde, which from 1870 to 1890 was a U.S. Army post during the tragic Indian Wars that were just a horrible blemish on the American history. But that's where they were stationed. You know, you had General George Crook, who blazed the Crook Trail. Now, here in Camp Verde, Cottonwood, they actually have the zero-mile marker. Now, I'm going to have to go see that zero-mile marker because it doesn't make any sense. Because the Crook Trail goes from Fort Apache to Fort Whipple. Fort Verde is like in the middle of that. So how did we decide the zero-mile marker was going to be here?
Well, maybe, is there a one in each direction?
I don't know. Maybe he started here and went to blaze the trail to Fort Apache and then turned around and blazed the trail to Fort Whipple up in Prescott. I don't know. If I were in charge of either one of those legs, I would have much rather been in charge of the leg from here to Fort Apache.
And that's blazing a trail country. Means a lot different here than it does in the Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett in the deep, deep woods. I mean, you can see thousands, hundreds of miles out here. You're not under a canopy. So I'm not sure what they mean by blazing. Is that, drawing a stick in the sand through the creosote?
It's going around the mountains and navigating
rivers. I think that's more of it,
yeah.
Is getting through the gorges.
And most of the trails, most of the highways that we use today really are just ancient footpaths from the Native Americans that were here originally. And most of those paths are nature paths that they started. So it's like, the route has been established by the game, by the Native Americans, by the U.S. Army, and then by Ford Motor Company. But, tomorrow, or I think this afternoon, we're going to take the grandkids over to Montezuma's Castle, which, again, has been protected. You know, the park system is celebrating 100 years. It all went into effect in 1906 under Teddy Roosevelt, the Antiquities Act. And so many of the national parks are celebrating, and Montezuma is one of those that was originally protected back in 1906. You could actually climb up through the ruins up and through to the 50s, and when they realized that they were going to have to protect them from that much traffic, they're currently seen by 360,000 people a year, and we're going to be seven of those 360 a little bit later this afternoon. Take the kids up there and see it right there, beautifully located on the riparian area at Beaver Creek. So the area is full of history. Of course, you've got Jerome and the mine and the mansion and all of that you can see there.
And I understand you guys have done the train to Cornville. I've never done that.
Yeah, the Verde Valley train is absolutely really worth the trip. And
Remy loves trains. I got
to
get him on
that one. We were able to see eagles nesting the time we went.
Yeah, go during the eagle nesting period because you can literally look across the canyon and see multiple bald eagle nesting sites. It's really
cool.
Really pretty spectacular.
When is that? The early spring, isn't it?
Seems like
when they usually close Agua Fria at Lake Pleasant. It's been a year since I've been on the lake, though. But it always seemed like it was just early spring because it was right about the time you'd get in the water. And
we're going to take a short break and come back and talk Arizona staycations and all the – now that we've covered the Verde Valley area – we'll talk a little bit more about what else you could do here and how you can go about winning a staycation so that you can come up here and enjoy it on Jennifer's Dime.